In order to have some sort of debate on podcast, you have to have both points of view being sensible, and no one in the world will agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, everyone will. So we can talk about that. So, hello, welcome to episode 18, maybe?
You started recording.
I started recording, yeah. Brilliant. 18 of Pete and a Podcast, which identical twins. My name's Simon. With me is...
Colin. 18 episodes.
Well, I don't know. It might not be. And if you're thinking, wow, I used to love Pete and the Podcast, but I couldn't listen to it on Spotify... Now you can. It's on Spotify.
We are on Spotify. We are the reason that Spotify is doing so well.
We're sponsored by Spotify. But TBC.
We're not. But I'm about to tank any chance we ever had of being sponsored by Spotify.
Or you're going to F and blind.
I've got some very strong political statements I want to make. I'm going to say Spotify. What's the point? What's the point of Spotify? Everyone else seems to be using Spotify for everything.
I mean, I guess the point is you can access any music you want for like £10 a month.
But like I don't know when Spotify came in, but I spent, let's say, a decade buying music. I've already paid for it. Why would I pay someone else again?
Well, I can understand you can like listen to different kids, music.
If you're starting with it, you might start on Spotify.
Well, they keep releasing new music. There's a lot of music.
I built up
that
a music
exist.
Collection. I got hundreds of CDs, and then I don't want to just. And obviously, I don't listen to CDs anymore. But you can just like you rip the CD. It's on your laptop. You can put it on your phone.
Yeah, but they keep making music.
Okay, if there was some sort of deal that I could have that I only paid for music that was new. I'm paid a lot less because of
that. Well, you can pretend it is that, and then you just listen to all the old stuff as well.
But I'm not paying less though, I'm paying the same amount.
Yeah, but it's so little. I mean, also the music you listen to is, and I want to put this nicely, boring and old. So you should listen to different stuff. It's a chance, it could be a new lease of life for you, Colin, because I think you'll agree with me.
Right.
Just started listening to any odd nonsense and was like, well, I guess this will do. And you've never really appreciated
what?
That you could listen to different stuff. And now you can.
No, I don't think that's a fair representation of my music listening habits.
Oh, well, I guess I'll have to agree to
disagree.
How much
does Spotify cost?
I don't know, it's like 10 a month or something.
What?
Honestly expecting to be less than that to access all music?
I'll be honest, that's my reaction, whatever. But it's more than £10 a month, isn't it?
I think it might be less.
How much is Spotify?
This premium? Is, yeah. Well, the premium is the only version that exists, I think.
$11.99 a month.
Is that how much I'm paying? But now you can get 15 hours worth of audiobooks each month.
What a ripoff. Do they do audiobooks on Spotify?
Well, they do, and you get 15 free hours. So I listen to loads of audiobooks on there.
Not for me.
Well, okay, fine. Spotify overlords if you're listening, so.
Yeah, no, I would refuse sponsorship from Spotify. Refuse it. I don't want it.
You don't want it?
No.
Who else would you refuse sponsorship by?
Great question. West Bromwich Albion, obviously.
Okay.
No, I think it's just those two.
So, like, say Putin.
Yeah, bring it on, mate.
Yeah, okay.
He's paying in sterling, right?
He's probably just paying in Bitcoin or something. He's quite tight.
There are many companies I would turn down sponsored by. Anything to do with gambling, tobacco, Waitrose.
Waitrose.
They've had it too good for too long, son. They've had it too good for too long.
Okay. Well, sure. I guess those are the big three. So.
What about you, Sam? Would you turn down sponsorship? I mean, I'm taking it from your question that you turned down Putin.
Yeah, I think I turned down Putin. I think I turned down any government body, to be honest.
Really? Even the British Library Service?
Is that a government body?
I made it up.
Just mean the British Library?
Sure. Well, is that a government body? I don't know.
Well, I don't think so, no. I guess... any football team, really. Any sports team. I don't want to be sullied by that.
Okay.
Peanut butter, I guess.
Wow. No. It's good to take a stand.
Be like, this is Pete and the Podcast, and we love peanut butter. I don't love peanut butter.
Calling our fans the peanuts.
Okay, I'm back on board. Because I actually don't hate peanuts now, but peanut butter still, no thank you.
The thing about peanut butter is that...
I think it's all right, Seinfeld. The thing about peanut butter...
It all tastes the same. Like, if you're buying the high end stuff, if you're buying the cheap stuff, it's all the same. It's just peanuts mashed up with butter, as far as I'm aware.
Well, I don't know. I assume yes.
Probably with added salt, because there's not enough salt in peanuts or butter. That's my top tip.
What's your, just buy the cheapest possible peanut butter?
Well, I always get the second cheapest, you know, just on the safe side.
I guess if you get the stuff that isn't smooth, maybe it's got fancier, like higher grade peanuts in.
Yeah, maybe that's a thing.
Yeah.
But a peanut's a peanut, isn't it?
It's never a truer word spoken. Yes. Peanut is a peanut. Let's all remember that this harvest.
Are you celebrating harvest?
I'm playing the organ at the Harvest Festival tomorrow. And let me tell you, I had to fight surprisingly hard to get We Plough the Fields and Scatter included.
Oh, you actually, you get involved in the song selection, do you?
Oh, I get to choose them. But because it was at a church meeting where there was a bit of a lull, so I decided to choose the hymns whilst we waited for someone to arrive, it became more of like crowdsourcing situ. Oh, and it was quite anti. I mean, they outright banned All Things Bright and Beautiful.
So why do people not like We Plough the Fields?
Well, one lady was like, we just sing it. I sing it my whole life. It's like, we sing it once a year. Mm. Granted, you've had more years than me.
I mean, it is the only harvest hymn, isn't it?
I think it's two. Come Ye Thankful People Come, okay, being the other. And those are, I'd say, harvest bangers.
Would you?
I would say that.
Two other people? Like, out loud? Is that what
I put that on record. I guess in this podcast.
Would you say that? Would you, in a PCC meeting, would you say that they're harvest bangers?
I think I did say they're harvest bangers.
Okay.
And the other two are for the beauty of the earth.
Our listeners probably don't know, Simon, that you are a secretary of the parochial church council.
Yes, which is not a role I wanted, and indeed one I turned down. But right, here I am. I'm also deanery synod representative.
Hey.
Yeah. And organist. So it's all go.
Mm. I'm lead recruiter for DVS at the church. So that's pretty good.
DVS check's so tedious. It's like, yes, I haven't done any crimes. I don't want to work with children. work with children.
How often are you getting DVS'd?
Well, I've now paid for the automatic thing. So it happens every couple of years automatically, I guess.
What is it?
I go through all these safeguarding things, and the off chance that I spot a child, it's like, if I see a child, I'm heading the other direction. But, unless, of course, it's vulnerable or unknown or whatever, then I'd forget phone 999. I don't recall all of your safeguarding training.
Right. I have a slightly official position, and now I probably shouldn't endorse any of that.
If in doubt, phone 999.
It's always best to speak to the safeguarding officer, having taken notes of the event that you've seen.
In this case, it's just a child, just standing.
I've just seen a child.
Contact the safeguarding officer, just in case.
I don't think you should contact the safeguarding officer in the event that you just happen to see a child.
your friend,
it's also important
to
remember, that safeguarding DBS is not just about children, it's also about vulnerable adults.
Yes. Yes, God bless them. Your friend of mine, Mel, her daughter, whose name I won't give, I guess, because this is public, has taken to naming scissors.
What?
Yes, apparently they need to be, the scissors in the house need to be named.
Has she named anything J Blades?
Can we talk about him now? Well, I'll tell you, there are four sets of names. They are...
Four sets of names?
Well, four names.
Okay. I call that one set of names.
Will you just let me finish? they are baby scissors, toddler scissors, mummy scissors, and midnight blaze.
So, I'm a bit off peak there.
Yeah. Actually, I guess it's quite close to blades. Maybe that's why she used it.
Midnight blaze. It's good.
Yeah, and I Googled this in case you'd like got the name from something, but I can't find any other example of Midnight Blaze. So
it's like the name of an ice hockey team or something.
I was thinking like some like nymph horse in a fantasy children's TV show or something.
Yeah.
Or both. Yeah. Maybe inspired by that horse, they set up an ice hockey team.
One of the two sporting events you've seen in your life was an ice hockey match. Huh?
Three, actually.
Oh, the Rainedoff cricket match. You can't.
Rainedoff cricket match. Yeah. Cool. And I'd say it's the best of the three sporting events I went to.
It was definitely the best of the ice hockey matches I've been to, and I've been to two.
Oh my gosh! I didn't realize we were a puck cast. Yeah, I'll leave it. Nice. Puck cast.
Yes. Spot on.
Puck cast. They play with pucks in ice hockey.
They do, or as the Americans slash Canadians call it, hockey.
Got to get the biscuit in the basket, they say.
Do they? I thought that's something you learned about in Sweet Valley University.
It's actually, I learned from a romance novel where one of the people played hockey.
There you go.
He said it like
in football, they occasionally refer to getting the ball in the onion bag.
We've talked about sport too much already. It always seems to be that I don't like it. How do dogs know that other dogs are dogs? That's my question.
Scent?
I guess it must be because you see like a greyhound go over to, you know, like a Pomeranian. And they seem to know that they're both dogs. It's like, well, one of you is the size of a Shetland pony and one of you is the size of a loofah.
Hmm. You can often hear loofah as a point of comparison.
But I'm happy with it.
We'll come back to the dogs thing.
So,
when was the last time you saw a loofah?
I guess when I lived with women.
Oh, is that okay?
They all love loofahs. It's the only difference between men and women.
Right. Okay. I mean, it's a hot button topic.
Well, yeah, next time someone's asked, what is a woman? It's like someone who owns a loofah. Done and done.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I'm a man. I have never owned a loofah.
I've never owned a loofah. The Lord gave me hands to wash my body with.
I do own two flannels.
All right. I don't, but I have one, but I use it to clean my mirrors.
I mostly use mine for shaving, if I'm honest.
A wet shaving. I was going to say dry shaving doesn't need a flannel. I am not a wet shaver. You know that about me.
I do know that, but now so do our audience. For our American listeners, a flannel is a washcloth.
Oh, is that what they do? Yes. Not khaki. Not khaki. What's the word I want? Tartan. No, wait. No, they don't call that. What? Wait, no.
What do they? I can't right now remember what the Americans mean when they say flannel.
Well, it's like a flannel, like it's like tends to be like a tartan shirt, but they don't say tartan. But they don't. What do
plaid?
They call it? Plaid. Plaid. A plaid shirt is for flannel, is it not?
But they also
or a load of old flannel, we'd say.
We do say a load of old flannel.
We mean nonsense. But like, oh, that's a load of flannel. I've never heard such flannel.
Yeah. Did you see the flannel the BBC were talking today? People saying.
Don't you understand that one?
Not a pun.
Oh, okay. I always talk. Oh, sorry, I thought you said talking to. Okay, talking. Yeah, got it. Mm.
But yeah, dogs. Do they know the things of dogs? Because I imagine that dogs would also happily greet like a possum in the same way.
Maybe.
You sometimes see videos of like a horse that thinks it's a dog or something.
Yeah, and when they're like, he thinks he's people. It's like, how do they know? Who have they quizzed? What BuzzFeed quiz are they taking? That's the real question. Because I think cats certainly know that other cats are cats, but all cats look the same. So they're all the same size, they're frogs. So you can see like a cat would look at like another cat and be like, sure, pretty feline.
Mum would occasionally claim that our cat thought the cows were cats.
Well, that's true. and I will plead the fifth on it. Any further information? I mean, I do sometimes ask Hargreaves if he is three owls pretending to be a cat. He's not said yes or no in any clear way.
No, it's strange because Hargreaves is, I think you'll forgive me, even as cats go, quite thick.
He's perfect.
And yet somehow the more intelligent person is in that household.
He's very good at being a cat.
Yeah, I mean, there's no quibbles here. He's always been
he's
a cat.
He's on my knee right now. And he's not.
That's your Hargreaves update.
He's so floofy.
Now, so last time we recorded, we decided upon our favourite capital city.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think we both said it was Ottawa, despite the fact that neither of us had been there.
I did put a word for N'Djamena at one point.
I'm well aware of how excited you are about the fact that you know capital cities.
And other people are excited about this. It's only you who like to repress my achievements.
I love to celebrate your achievements, Simon, and I'm sure I did the first like 4 or 5 times.
I don't think you did.
Randomly mentioned capital cities.
Rachel, who listened to our guest, was a big fan of my mention of random capitals. So thank you, Rachel.
Okay, do you want to throw one in for us?
Sure. Nuku'alofa.
There you go. That one's for you, Rachel.
It's the capital of Tongo. No Tongo.
Tongo's not a country.
Tonga. Togo, capital is Loma, and Tonga, capital is Nuku'alofa. There we go. Yes.
There you go.
Cool. I don't think either of my favourite capitals, though. Was there a reason you brought this up?
I'm going to Boston soon. And before you ask, Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's not Lincolnshire.
Not Boston, from. Lincolnshire. Or no doubt the many other Bostons there are in America. If you could visit any US city, zone.
Oh my gosh.
And I know that you have visited one?
One. Well, I think it's probably just one city.
Which one would you visit?
Lovely question.
While you muse.
Oh, yes.
Because I've been to Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, quite a few Santas in California.
Oh, really?
Never on the East Coast. So, and you've been to DC.
I went to Charlottesville. Is that a city?
Sounds like it.
Charlottesville, which very sadly is where that far right protest happened.
No, I think Americans refer to any town as a city, don't they?
Well, they refer to any village as a town, so maybe. Oh, it is a city. There you go. I've been to two cities in America.
Tale.
What?
Yeah, what a tale that was, yeah?
I didn't get it.
A tale of two cities.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Charles
Very
Dickens.
Good. Very good. Unlike you, I've read it.
I've read it.
Have you?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Okay.
I guess if I say I've read more Charles Dickens than you have.
Okay, well, it's possible, I suppose. I've read five.
I think I've read four.
Right. No, I'm not a mathematician. But which of those is more?
You've read more. I read a bit of an interview with a news story.
With Dickens?
With Dickens. with some Oxford professor or whoever. And he was talking about how kids these days don't read books. And he's saying when he was like, 10, 15 years ago, he would say to his students, it's Dickens this week. So this week you've got to read Bleak House, David Copperfield, and Oliver Twist. And nowadays it takes students 3 weeks to read a book. Now, I know you're a voracious reader, Simon, and an Oxford graduate. Those are all very long books. Would you have been asked to read three Dickens books in a week?
Well, we would have been asked to, and we'd have another essay for a different subject to do. But generally what I try to do is do all my primary reading during the vacations, which is why I was always bearing away reading all my big books. But yeah, often you'd be
asked. Oh, so it's not sprung on you. You would know in advance that you're supposed to have read these books.
Well, you get to choose what you want to read or write on at Oxford.
Not to call this guy.
We did have a seminar where we had to read Our Mutual Friend, but that's just one, and we were given advance notice. So, I mean, you might be asked to do that, and they do expect you to do an awful lot of reading there. So, yeah, it wouldn't have surprised me.
Okay. Anyway, cities in America.
I don't know what cities there are in Vermont, but I'd like to go to Vermont, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You haven't learned the state capitals yet.
I have my two criteria, that it has to be somewhere that people will be amazed by my accent,
yeah,
but they won't be really Trumpy. So,
because
a lot of the places where they'd be amazed, they'd be like super Trumpy, because you know it's more rural, it's more south. And I just people aren't amazed by my accent in the cosmopolitan cities. What's the point of going abroad if people are not going to be like, wow, I love your accent? What's even the point?
True, very true. Apparently, there are 10 cities in Vermont.
I'll go to the one, the closest one to the letter N.
So that's N.
For number.
I guess that's Montpellier.
Montpellier, here I come.
Cool.
see you there. Let's do a. Should we do a live podcast there?
Oh, in fact, that is the capital of Vermont.
There we go. I think there's enough of an audience for a piece in a podcast in Montpellier to do a live podcast.
Oh, we're starting a tour, are we?
A tour just of Montpellier, though. Various cafes around Montpellier. It's going to be hard to join people up for the third event. Like it does again, guys.
It's got a population of 8,000.
And that's the capital of Vermont with a population of 8,000.
You know how Americans like to do weird capital cities. It's the least populous state capital in the US.
Oh, that's fun.
Well, there you go. I mean, we can wander around Montpellier for months. I was in Boston my plan is to travel to various other states, and I was considering Vermont, but I don't think I'll actually get to Vermont. But I'll go to some adjoining states.
But if you can go and leaflet the area, that'd
be great. Sure, get them ready. Now, son, there are 6 different zip codes in Montpelier, Vermont. Do you want to guess anything?
I don't. What format are American zip codes in?
Well, they appear to be a 5-digit number.
Okay, so I'm just going to guess random 5-digit numbers. Is this content? 27863.
No.
27864.
No, they all begin 056. So I don't know. So no, they all begin 056. Anyway.
05624.
No. This is gold.
05604.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
There you go.
I've never felt exhilaration like it.
Shout out to 05604, Montpelier, Vermont. That's where our first stop off on the tour is going to be.
Yeah, we can play this bit. They'll love it. Oh my gosh.
I'll just have a quick look on what's on 05604. Park Avenue.
Park Avenue. Ooh. Ooh, sounds fancy. Have you got any caps? Any podcast hosting venues?
Well, it's not clear to me how wide this thing is, but it might. The skinny pancake might be within it.
Hey, is that a restaurant?
Looks like it, yeah.
Hmm.
Doyle's Guest House. We could stay at Doyle's Guest House and go to the skinny pancake.
It's basically, it'd be weird now if we didn't do this.
Yeah, there's a bookshop.
Hello.
It's called Bear Pond Books.
Love it. New?
New and used.
Oh my gosh. That's okay, that's where I'm going to go. That's my plan. I mean,
it's on the intersection of State Street and Main Street. Now, State and Main is a good film.
Okay. Huggies is getting very tangled in my headphone cord.
But one of my trips I'm planning is to Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which is partly because I can walk across to Maine and take off another state, but also just to see a small town USA and see how they rock over there.
Mm. You compare it to Portsmouth, England.
I could compare it to Portsmouth, England. The only British city that's on an island, I think.
I don't think it is on an island.
But it is, then.
I'm going there next weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I'll find out if that's true.
Are you going up the Spinnaker?
I don't know what that is.
It feels like you've not done your Portsmouth research.
I've not done any. I'm visiting some friends. I assume they'll tell me what to do.
The most notable feature of Portsmouth is the Spinnaker Tower.
You're thinking of Spanakopita.
Also the birthplace of Isambard Kingdom Brunel.
Oh, yes.
Bristol's own.
Sounds like he's from Portsmouth.
No, yeah, I mean from there, but
and lived there.
I mean, for a while.
Yeah, and worked there.
Maybe.
And loved Portsmouth, every fibre of his being.
Well, I've not been to the Portsmouth Brunel Museum. I'm sure they make that claim. They were planning on it. I don't know if it ever happened.
I don't really care about him, if I'm honest. So I probably wouldn't go to that.
Okay. Well, you get a chance this week.
Well, yeah. I'll probably just hang out with my friends Max and Rosie.
Well, your choice. If you want to hang out with those two, rather than learning about the greatest engineer who ever strode these aisles.
I mean, I don't care about engineering at all.
Mm.
At all.
What's your favourite bridge?
Eckington Bridge.
Right.
The village we grew up in. All the memories.
Bridge so lame it couldn't even take a tractor going over it with that
clap. I swear you'd have such strong anti-Eggington Bridge feelings.
That's a great 90s reference to a village bridge for the fans.
And of course, I like Grandpa. Walked over that yesterday.
Where's that?
Oxford. You might recall I lived in Grandpa area of Oxford at one point. Grandpa means big bridge. They call it Grand Pont, but it should be Grandpa.
Right.
And it's a big bridge, I'll tell you that for nothing.
Considering it doesn't go anywhere. Bridge.
No, that's bad.
No, you're wrong. When I was going over the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, my main thought was, it's not as old as the Clifton Suspension Bridge.
Which in turn isn't as old as Eckington Bridge.
Don't know.
My favourite bridge is the Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
The song or just the
concept? Just the concept. The concept. And yeah. My hot take is that the Simon and Garfunkel version is maybe the fourth best version of that song.
I mean, I'm sure you're wrong.
Number one, Aretha, obviously. Number two, I think Victory. Number three, Amber Riley. Then in at number four, Simon and Garfunkel.
Okay, well, no one's heard of numbers two or three.
It's not true.
Literally no one's heard of those people.
Okay. Amber Riley?
Yes, no one's heard of Amber Riley.
If I had said to you, instead of Amber Riley, Bridge Over Trevor Walker, brackets, Gleehaas edition.
So this is what the kind of gold I could be getting if I subscribed to Spotify, is it?
You could be listening to Amber Riley. Yes, for example. I mean, I don't know if that's how they advertise it.
Well, it's a no from me. Sorry, Amber.
Okay, well, at least you gave it a chance, / have never heard it.
I watched an episode of Glee once. Didn't care for it.
Look, no one's saying Glee was good. I'm just saying song was good. Well, maybe they are. Season four, best season.
Not a Gleek.
Well, I mean, I watched every single episode of it.
Did you? Oh, man. I'm rewatching Parks and Rec.
Okay.
At the moment. And I hold to the fact that Mark Bramatanovich was a good character. It was a shame we lost him.
Controversial.
No one agrees with me, not even the guy who played him.
But, no. Oh. Yeah, I've never watched Series 1, so I couldn't tell you.
You never watched Series 1?
Nope.
Okay, good though. I mean, he's also in Season 2. But...
There is he. Which I guess I saw him in Season 2. But I think you recommended that I skip the first season when I started.
Yeah, I think to get people into it. But then I would go back and watch. I mean, I started this one at Season 1.
Do you know one of my pet's peeve?
One of your pet's peeves?
Pet's peeve. Decided to say.
What is your pet's peeve?
People who misuse let alone.
Okay.
So you know if people say like, I wouldn't want to go to the end of my street, let alone go for a run, where the second thing is the thing that is bigger than the first thing.
That's how it should be used.
And I so often hear people do it the other way around.
Oh, right, okay.
They'd be like, I wouldn't want to go around, let alone go to the end of my street. It's like, what are you doing?
I don't think I've ever heard, well, I've never noticed hearing that.
I hear that so often. It really gets my goat.
I feel like it's going to do that for me now.
Yeah, it will, and I hope it does.
I'm going to notice it now, yeah.
Like, guys, I mean, it's also very hard to explain by definition why it's sorry, because, I mean, it doesn't really mean anything. But,
Yeah, let that alone.
Yeah. That's all I had on that.
that's pretty good stuff.
I can try and eke it out for another 10, 20 minutes if you like.
It's like when I must have something here. It's when people say it's impossible to underestimate how good that was. It's like it's very possible to underestimate. I think what you mean is impossible to overestimate it.
Yeah.
But I say that.
Yeah.
And they appreciate it. People like to learn when they're wrong.
Is that something you found?
That's something I found. People appreciate it. Thank you, Colin, they say. I will go off with a spring in my step.
Because I'm often telling you or pointing out when you're wrong, which you never seem to appreciate.
But you are in turn wrong.
What a quandary.
I know you don't want to talk about football, but this came up in a football commentary, I think. You know the phrase, come what may?
Bang a song from Moulin Rouge.
Of course. It's... There's commentator, I can't, maybe John Hartson, maybe not. Talking
about the two options, I suppose.
Yeah, a football team and seeing how they're doing in the League Cup, which I think the final is in like, let's say, February. And he's like, well, they're doing well now, but come what February, will they still be in it?
Wow.
I think because the FA Cup final is traditionally in May, so it's just
oh my gosh, what an idiot.
I think it might be the same guy who said that someone was running an absolute mock. You see how he got there.
Yeah. I guess there's a problem with people not reading. I'm with that guy who you read an article about. People need to read more. It's my hot take.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. just drink sponsored by Evia, Live Young, Levia.
I wouldn't say no to being sponsored by water, the concept, but I would say no to being sponsored by any particular brand of bottled water.
Who would organise sponsorship on behalf of water, the concept?
Maybe like Thames Water or something, although I wouldn't accept sponsorship from Thames Water in Venice.
So they wouldn't be asking sponsorship for them. They'd just be like, we're being some sort of like halfway house or like...
Yeah. Like, you know, like there's like a milk marketing board, at least they used to be. If there's like a water board.
Yes, well, I suppose there is. But this milk marketing board always felt weird because like people already get milk. No one's going to be like, no one doesn't know about milk.
In fairness, how much do you drink milk when it's not in tea?
I have a hot chocolate sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes I just have a nice glass of milk.
Do you?
No, that was a lie. It's like two truths and a lie, but without the truths.
Yeah, it's just lies. Yeah. It seems like when I was a kid, I had a glass of milk. I'd often have a glass of milk.
And a Pop-Tart, lovely stuff.
Sure. But like, if I saw anyone drinking a glass of milk now, like, who's this pervert?
Pervert?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so Jack, are you saying this to, are you saying it to them? Or just
to your friend? I'm nudging the person next to me, pointing at them, I'm saying, who's this pervert?
It's a simple baby having a bottle of milk.
No, it had to be an adult.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
So I do love saying, I do love calling people jokers. That's the thing I love to do.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Who are these jokers, for example?
Yeah. No, thanks for the
look at those jokers.
Sentence for us. Maybe it could just be viral marketing by the milk marketing board. That it's like, just put charismatic men and women around town drinking glasses of milk. Really get a buzz going.
It's so weird.
You're like, that person's seems like they've got their life together and they're drinking a glass of dairy.
Drinking a glass of milk.
Like, oh, could I be him? I think. And then before you know it, pint of semi-skimmed down your gullet.
Aim high as I'm.
Like full fat.
That's one thing that bugs me. The lounges now, they give you a choice of whole milk or skimmed milk.
Well, I'll tell you my tip, half of each.
They didn't give that option. Now, you know, sometimes, I don't know if they still do this, they launch milks with like a, it's 5% milk or 5% fat rather, or 1% fat or 0.1. It's like, I have no frame of reference for what percentage of milk is fat in other contexts.
If that's something the milk marketing board could be telling us.
They could be informing, because it's like, do you want whole, semi-skimmed, or 5%? Is that, I don't know. Is that... Where are we talking?
Where?
Where are we talking?
What do you mean, where?
Where are we talking?
Okay.
I seem to remember having this confusion in Canada when I went out to buy some milk and just looking at all the different types of milks. I don't know.
Oh, dear Larry, I think, asked us what sort we wanted. You said 2%, I think.
Did I? I don't remember if that was the right decision or not.
Well, I mean, I think it was basically normal.
These are things I need to know when I'm in Boston buying milk.
Well, yeah, I guess you could ask people. They might be charmed.
Yeah, maybe. I don't feel like Boston's going to be charmed by my English accent.
No, maybe not.
Not least because of the history.
Yeah. Milk could be a sore point.
Having overthrown the British in Boston.
And they're probably regretting it now.
Yeah, maybe.
Some woman I met through a friend the other day would not believe that I was British.
What?
It's very weird. She was like, where are you from? I was like, I thought she meant like, where in the country? And she's like, oh no, but you like, if you haven't been in England your whole life, have you? Like, yes,
Was she English? Like,
no, she's American. She didn't think I was American, but she seemed very unconvinced. She was like, you don't sound British. It's like, how dare you, actually? I sound very British. I don't know what that means. But anyway, I've never had anyone, well, apart from the guy who thought I was Russian based on my name. I've never worked out what he meant by that. It was a man in a bookshop. I'd given my debit cards. He must have read it there. And he said, are you visiting? I was like, no. He's like, oh, I thought you were Russian based on your name. But he also another time asked me how I'd make jelly. And when I told him I'd used pour hot water and jelly cubes, he laughed at me and went and told another customer they didn't know how to make jelly.
Is there another way to make jelly?
Well, I never found out. But he's also as a vegetarian, not something I'm going to do.
I don't eat lots of jelly, if I'm honest.
Thank you for your candor. I'm sure that wasn't easy for you to say.
It wasn't. I've been working up to that for a while. I never really got the whole jelly and ice cream thing either, even as a kid. I was like, these do not go well together.
Well, that's why I like having my ice cream separate to other things. I don't want fruit and ice cream. I want a nice bowl of fruit and a nice bowl of ice cream. Nice mind.
So you said you want your jelly separate to other things, and now you're having fruit and ice cream.
Yeah. Just ice cream separate to things in general.
Oh, you said... Okay, previously you said jelly, which confused me.
Oh, sorry.
So you're having some chocolate fudge cake and some ice cream, and you want those separate?
Probably.
Good Lord.
Like, maybe, but I just didn't want my food to be wet.
I thought I knew.
I really upset our friend Lorna the other day when I told her that I didn't like banana bread. She found that hard to swallow.
Lorna feels like someone bread. Who has made you banana bread in the past.
Well, I do think she has, which is why I felt comfortable saying it, but I might have misremembered.
But some of our listeners might have done some.
I didn't like it. It was disgusting. Janet.
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 I mean, most of your friends, I think, are 70-plus-year-old women.
Lorna doesn't like meringue, and I'm pretty sure I've made her meringue in the past.
Well, I mean, Lorna is a friend of mine, but she's weird. She doesn't like cake, doesn't she?
Oh, she'll eat cake, but she generally prefers healthy things. Mm. Yeah. Good for her, I guess. You okay?
I'm just thinking about salad.
We did do a hot 20 minutes on salad last time.
We did, didn't we? Indeed. But then I made the same mistake I've made previously with salad recently when I was having to cater a barbecue at church, where I just bought loads of salad because I was thinking, well, I don't like it, but I'm sure people do. But I'd forgotten the golden rule. No one actually likes salad. Just pretend like that. Well, I ended up throwing away like 6 bags of salad. No one likes salad.
I mean, who do like salad? I don't know if... Because, I mean, a barbecue is usually you're standing, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're holding a drink in one hand and a plate in the other, it's quite hard to eat salad.
It was really hard that day because it was incredibly windy.
Well, there you go. But yeah, I don't know if salad would be my go-to at a barbecue.
But basically, it's just like you're chucking a couple of leaves into a burger thing. But I just overestimated how much people are going to have.
Couscous goes down well at a barbecue.
You can't overestimate that, son, but I did.
Couscous.
How much salad? Couscous. Okay, yeah.
That's a good one. A good side salad at a barbecue.
Good tip. Good tip.
Thank you.
Where would you, if you could choose anywhere to have a barbecue, where would it be?
The moon. I think it'd be quite funny to go to the moon and just have a barbecue.
Our moon or?
Oh, great question. No.
Follow up question. Yes. Why do you think of that? How many moons can you name?
Conservatively one.
Is that the moon?
The moon, yeah.
Okay.
Ambitiously, like 5.
Oh, okay.
Because right. I'm pretty sure there's a planet that's got moons that are named after Shakespearean heroines.
Okay.
Is that true?
I mean, there's definitely... I can definitely name a moon that is also a Shakespearean heroine, well, a Shakespearean character, so I guess so.
Because so I think maybe like Desdemona might be a moon.
Sounds
I think
possible.
Maybe Ophelia is a moon.
Okay.
Let's say Juliet, and let's say... I can't think of that. I don't think we'd be Cleopatra. I don't think we'd be Viola. Who else would be? Rosalind. I think Rosalind.
Rosalind. I mean, there's definitely a Titania.
Oh, okay. That's probably... Or Titania, I think we tend to say.
I don't. There's also a Titan, confusingly. And Io is a much beloved moon of crossword writers.
Moons, Shakespeare heroine. Oh, Shakespeare characters. Here we go. There is Cordelia, Cressida, Othello, Rosalind, haha, Belinda, Perdita, Puck, Miranda, Ariel, Umbriel, Titania, Oberon, and Caliban. So I think I only got one of those in the end.
Ah, men as well as women.
Yeah. From Uranus, apparently.
I suspect that our moon might be the only one that you wouldn't die if you were on.
Well, I would die if I were on it, wouldn't I?
Not if you're wearing a spacesuit.
Oh, I've not got time for all that nonsense. Okay. All that flannel. Callback to the flannel.
Use a flannel. But then you're vegetarian. I think it's fair to say that your barbecue doesn't really count as...
I think I said vegetarian, therefore I would be more likely to die on the moon. I had only this morning a vegetarian sausage as part of my vegetarian breakfast at Millet's Garden Centre / Farm Shop / they've got alpacas and donkeys and stuff.
Like crunching on cornflakes.
Sorry to hear that. It was a good breakfast, although my friend's daughter was very keen for me to give her lots of it, so she'd get some of it.
How old's the daughter?
Coming up for two.
Should you be feeding the children of your friends?
Yeah, I mean, my friend was there.
And it wasn't still.
She's eating a whole scone, so it's like she's fine. She can eat stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
But she kept saying sausage, and it's like, well, have some sausage.
Poor kid.
Is this because it was vegetarian sausage?
Yeah. In fairness, actually, having said that, I don't know how many sausages this kid has had. Probably quite a few if she knows the word sausage.
Well, her mum, I don't think, is vegetarian, but did have the vegetarian sausage bab. So she had.
I've occasionally been with people who aren't vegetarian, they're ordered vegetarian food.
Yeah, people. It's very normal that people do. People, it's very, very normal.
Weirdo.
V norms. People say. Let's give a shout out to Lizzie.
Hey, Lizzie.
Hey, Lizzie. Lizzie listened to all 17 episodes, I think, of Peace in the Podcast in about a week.
Why did you do that, Lizzie?
Yeah, Lizzie.
Was it Lizzie who bemoaned the lack of segments, or was that a different one?
It was, yeah. No one else listening to this. So, yes, it was.
Well, let's put in the segments on.
Okay.
Let's put in a segment. It's time for the classic segment, Do You Remember When?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've not prepped it, so something will come to me during this sentence. Simon, do you remember when?
It's a good start to the sentence.
Do you remember when?
It's very similar to what you've already said.
We went...
Yes, okay. You're still just hoping something will come, aren't you?
Do you remember when we went to Oban?
I mean, dimly. We got a ferry to Mull, maybe?
Maybe.
I think that is all I recall about it. We stayed in a youth hostel.
I thought we stayed in a bed and breakfast. Maybe it was a youth hostel. You're right, youth hostel.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to say about Oban?
I think that's quite a nice hill, if I remember right.
Okay, tell you say more about that. Have you got 10, 20 minutes to cover on the hill?
I think I'm... My main I could be getting this mixed up, but I think there was a place that was called Hill View.
You're thinking of my old house.
And it was the first time, because we were quite young, it's the first time I remember coming across the idea of a house being named after what you could see from that house.
Gosh, that's quite a seminal moment in a young boy's life.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
It's like Lacan's mirror stage.
What it's proportion like of object things person. With the word view in the title do you think actually can see that thing? Because I...
Well, there's for example, I, Simon Thomas,
yes,
live in a flat called Three Folly View.
Yeah.
Do you think I can view a folly?
If you look at your look at your shoes, you can.
My shoes.
Got him.
I really thought it was lumbering up to be a good joke.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. No. Can you see a folly elsewhere in this?
Well, great question, Colin Thomas. It actually took a friend who was in California. A friend who was in California to ask, is that named after Lord Berners Folly? I was like, who are you talking about, babe? And then I Googled it, and Lord Berners Folly is in Farringdon, which is the other direction from where my flat faces. But you still can't see it from the other side. I guess maybe you could once for like trees and hedges grow up. But I've now been at the top of that folly. It's open like every 3 Sundays.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I told them, I live in a place called Folly View, and he couldn't have been less interested in that information.
Yeah, I mean, that is dull in fairness. But I remember when we were staying in an Airbnb in Cornwall, there were quite a lot of places that were kind of like beach view or sea view or something. It was like, some of these, like, well, yeah, I guess if you lent your head out the kitchen window, maybe you'd catch a glimpse of it.
Lent your head. Yeah, it's true. And I guess, I don't know if people, when naming this flat, thought we'll really sell it quicker if they think that we have to see a folly. I managed to get through the day.
I remember saying to my friend Ben, if I'm not even Clifton in South Bristol, because you could just about see the Clifton Stratton Bridge across the way. I was like, I bet there's some area called Clifton View, like literally the next house we came across was called Bridge View or something. But that is something worth looking at, in fairness.
I mean, The Folly is great, don't get me wrong. Please pray don't misunderstand me, read The Folly.
Right, top 20 follies, let's go.
Parsons Folly.
Parsons Folly number one.
That's what I've got.
The one at Blaze probably is a folly.
Oh, yeah, they love a folly in a natty tea, don't they? National Trust. People must be recommending Ludwig to you a lot.
Oh, yes.
Because a lot of people recommend it to me to pass on to you.
Okay. I mean, I have watched the whole first season.
Oh, right. So for those who don't know, it's David Mitchell or someone like him playing sets crosswords or puzzles or something. So Colin is a twin who sets crosswords.
Yeah, it's a kind of murder mystery of the week type thing, but there's an overarching story where he's trying to find out what happened to his twin brother who's gone missing. But to do so, he takes the place of his twin brother at the local police force where he's a detective inspector, and nobody notices because they're twins.
Yeah, I will say either of us could impersonate the other for more than 3 seconds for people who actually work with us every day.
Yeah, let alone people whose job it is to detect crime.
Great, correct use of let alone, may I say.
It's not bad. I mean, the puzzle stuff, some of it is very good. There's a consultant, puzzle consultant, Alan Connor, who I've not actually met, but I've contacted, like, emailed.
Big Al! Big Al.
Sure. Who is crossword editor at The Guardian. And in fact, I emailed him only yesterday. So he's doing stellar work. But I think some of the stuff which maybe he had less control over, at one point there's a book of puzzles, which is apparently the murderer must be a genius because he managed to solve these puzzles, and literally one of them was a word search. And if you freeze frame it, which friends of mine on the crossword WhatsApp group did, they're not even words that have been circled. It's just random, like some of them are, but some of them are just random selections of letters.
Well, lest we forget, in the Da Vinci Code, the way that we learn that Robert, whatever his name is a brilliant puzzle solver, is that he manages to work out mirror writing.
I would say, now, son, you're a man who I think is on record of saying that you don't like trilogies.
Probably. Have I? Yes. Yeah. Well, except for the Before trilogy, that's
brilliant. Okay. But I think the worst trilogy I've watched all three of will be the Robert Langdon.
Strong comp.
It's basically between that and Expendables, which in fairness is now 4 films, but I didn't see the 4th one.
I feel like there's others you've watched. None spring to mind. I mean, Lord of the Rings is trash, but that's a whole separate.
I mean, obviously combo. It's not. But it's the fact that I've watched them all and kind of didn't like any of them. I don't know why I watched all of them in both cases.
Yeah, hard to pinpoint that one, I will say.
It's like occasionally like, oh, maybe this one's good.
Connor, do you remember when?
Oh, here we go. This is going to be better than the time we went to open.
I think, yes. They will require less memory. We did a food treasure hunt in London.
You mean last weekend?
Last weekend.
I do remember that, yes. Yeah.
It was really fun.
It was a lot of fun. The good people of Gourmets.
M-A-Z-E.
Or to our American listeners, M-A-Z-E.
Yes. Thank you to the good people of Montpellier.
Montpellier, Vermont. If you do you reckon they call it Montpellier? They might call it like Montpellier or something.
Montpellier. Probably not that. Montpellier.
We might have lost our Montpellier fans.
Oh no, they'll love it. This will ring true for them because they'll be like, oh yeah, we do that.
You've got us there. You've noticed how Vermont ends in Mont and Montpellier begins in Mont.
Montpellier, hello. Very Montpellier is what they should call it.
They should call it that. What is it? Named after a mountain? Probably. Probably is, yeah. Vermont, probably Green Mountain, maybe?
I guess so. glad we covered that. What are you saying?
Gourmets. Put on this thing where we would. So we're in a WhatsApp thing. We were taking instructions and solving clues and what have you, and making our way across the streets of London town.
Downtown.
Working our way through protest marches and locked gates.
Yeah,
that's just to get to the start. Actually, well, no, that was to
go
to
I wasn't there for the lock gate. No,
I'm going to check see if we're on the leaderboard.
I can't imagine we're on the leaderboard since we kind of forgot to finish it, didn't we?
No, I think the clock has stopped. Yeah, so the do you want to explain what it is?
So yeah, you get little clues to go and like find, I don't know, words on buildings or statues or that sort of thing, and you put in the answer in the WhatsApp group, and it either says no or it says yes. No, it didn't say proceed. What it keeps saying, some weird faux military slang.
Passage left.
A passage. That was it. Passage left. And then along the way, you stop at various cafes, and they, thankfully, were expecting us, or at least people like us. And it went just being like, "What are you talking about? Why are you giving us a weird riddle?" Which, in fairness, we mostly avoided using the riddle.
Mostly. And then, yeah, went to three places and had three desserts. Looking at the monthly leaderboard, so if it's the same next month as it has been the previous month, they haven't actually put ours up yet, we should be about fifth.
Really?
In the month.
But, we weren't exactly hurrying.
No. But we won't be cracking the all-time leaderboard.
I mean, I didn't really care how we did on the leaderboard for Gourmet, to be honest.
In fact, if we hadn't, so we got a time penalty if you made errors.
Oh, yeah.
Which we made two, apparently. If we made no errors and did this last month, we would have been top of the leaderboard for the month.
We'll just have to do it again. I mean, it would be less challenging.
I reckon we could do it the second time. Sure.
It's the third eating thing I've been to, based on recommendations on my Instagram ads. So they're obviously working for me, and that's why I keep getting more. So the first one, thank you for asking, was an all lasagna restaurant, which was really good. You could get three different types of lasagna in one tray. It was really delicious. And they had like nine vegetarian options.
That's great.
Okay. The second one.
Sorry to hear that. Some of these seem to be much quicker than others. Like the one we took. Sorry, you can carry on your list of lasagnas or something. But the one that we took was 68 minutes. But if you do the rickshaw race, which we were considering as the next one, the top time is 28 minutes and 36 seconds.
Ooh, that sounds less.
The next one's 43 minutes, but maybe they were actually doing it on...
Maybe we're doing it a second time. No real rickshaws involved. The second one was a bakery called Fortitude Bakery near Russell Square that my friend and I actually got there, discovered... We'd be misled by the internet, like we were always warned we would be. In as much as I had nowhere to sit, it was raining. They just had a couple of benches outside, and they sold out of almost everything. And also, they had special late opening hours for the bank holiday, but no one seemed to have told them that because they didn't close. So you know, it all goes to show that not everything on the internet is as it seems. That's as true of being kidnapped by some catfisher as it is of being let down by a bakery.
I have never been kidnapped by a catfisher, but I have been let down by a bakery.
Oh, Colin, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Most particularly the one in Bude that was selling bacon cheese scones, which sound like the best thing in the world. I bought one, it was basically just tasted of onion, spring onion.
Yeah, I mean, Bude as a place, I would say lackluster.
That'd be harsh. A bit harsh on Bude.
That's what I said. I'd say it. And I have said it.
You have?
Yeah, I put my money where my mouth is.
What moment? What money?
My money.
I liked Bude, apart from that bakery. Walk along the river.
I don't mind lackluster stuff, I guess.
Yeah, you've seen your shoes. my friends, Jez and Sarah, stayed in Bude.
That means nothing to me, actually.
Wow. What a diss of Jez and Sarah.
I mean, I'm sure they're great.
They are great, so.
But... They're no Instagram ad, are they?
They're not an Instagram ad. I would go so far as to say that I don't believe either of them are on Instagram.
What? Mm. How do they know where to find their nearest all lasagna restaurant?
Well, Sarah is a chef, or at least she was a chef. She can make lasagna, I guess.
Well, I can make lasagna, but I can't get three types of lasagna. I suppose I could.
So when you say types of lasagna, let's dig into this more.
Yeah.
Let's poke through the layers. Are we talking like different types?
Hello, lasagna
of...
layers.
Yeah. That was what I was going for, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
is it different fillings or different pasta?
Different fillings.
Okay. Were any of them beef?
Well, none of the ones I chose were. I suspect some of them anyway. I had one that was pesto, That was really tasty. I had one that was spinach and stuff. That was really tasty. And I wanted the artichoke one, but they weren't doing the artichoke one. And I can't remember what I had instead, but I do remember that it wasn't. It was the worst one of the three. I will say that.
Now, I know you chose to be a vegetarian. That was your choice. That's something that you went into. But I can't help. I just feel so sad for you when you're like, oh, it was really exciting. I went to a bakery and I had some spinach and pesto.
It's not a great look on you, this
sort of thing. Just so sad for you.
I don't think it is, though.
My heart bleeds.
Well, you know what else bleeds?
What's that?
It's all the animals that you're massacring.
Yeah. But they did it in a worthy cause. Yummy lasagna.
I don't think you having a dry bacon scone taste of onion is really a great cause.
That was not a good cause. No.
Anyway, it used to be called Mr. Lasagna, but they've now changed it to Lasagna Italiana or something. So they obviously decided to elevate or Italianize, at least.
My good friend Ed later made me some cheese and bacon scones, and they were great.
Okay.
After you heard this story. That's friendship, son.
I will never, and I promise you this, ever make you a bacon and cheese scone.
It's very sad.
I did some really nice gnocchi at my friend's house yesterday, though.
I'd make you a cheese and bacon scone if you wanted, son.
I don't do it. That.
You know?
I do like a fruit scone.
Okay. Let's rank the scones.
Oh my gosh, I'm so ready.
Okay. So is it just cheese, fruit, and plain, or have we got anything else to throw into the mix?
I can't think of any other regularly discovered scones.
Hmm. Did you do different type of fruit ones, like some like with cherries and stuff, or is that?
Oh yeah, we can put that on the list if you like.
Cherry scone.
I'm going to put in the Stone of Scone if you really want to.
Okay, let's put the Stone of Scone. Okay. Something I don't think. Well, maybe I've seen. Did they keep is that one they kept at Edinburgh Castle?
I don't know anything about it.
Okay. I guess you're going to go first. You're really ranking Scone rather than the Stone of Scone.
Nope.
Okay. Well, obviously, so
the numbers wise, that's five, isn't it?
That's five.
So start with your fifth place.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Are you starting at fifth?
That's the way to go. Isn't it?
Okay.
I think. Fifth place. Now it's between the two different varieties of fruit scone. I think it's going to be regular fruit scone is fifth.
Okay, madness. But my fifth is fruit and cherry scone.
Okay,
very anti cherries in a scone.
See, fourth is fruit and cherry for me.
Wow,
fourth. I don't love it, but at least it's given a little pop. You know, it's given a little
something. I think fourth is the Stone of Scone for me. Okay, because I don't know what it is, but so I can't say I like it, but I've got nothing against it.
So I'm putting Stone of Scone in at third.
Okay,
because I think it's quite funny how annoyed the Scots get about it.
Do they?
Right. I mean, so it's. I'm not going to put myself here as a Stone of Scone expert. Although we both know how to pronounce Scone, so yes. I guess that's something.
Carry on.
Okay.
I thought I could do something with aficionado and Scone, but I can't.
Thank you for interrupting me to say fish. Really helpful.
Aficionado. Is that something?
You're trying to mix aficionado and Scone.
Yes, I am, yeah.
Because they both have a slight S sound at one point.
And an ooh sort of sound. Or but it turns out they don't really. Aficionado doesn't actually have an ooh sound.
Aficionado. I think you're pronouncing at least one of those words wrong. It may or may not be kept at Edinburgh Castle, and it's something to do with coronations. So, like,
oh, right.
When you're crowning the king, you've got to stand on it or something like that.
Officier coronationado.
I mean, it's no worse. It does sound a little bit like the Sharknado series.
In it three for me is cheese gum.
That is absurd.
I mean, they're okay. Don't get me wrong. And they used to do a really nice one that was quite heavy on the old mustard and chives at Oculus Everest. But yeah, I'm very, very happy with my third place.
Wow. Number two, plain scone.
And snap.
Simon, to everyone who debates the jam on first, cream on first thing.
Yes.
It doesn't matter in this life. Shut up.
Okay. As opposed to our scone rankings, which really matter.
I think they matter about the same amount. Just shut up. There's loads of good stuff going on in Cornwall, less so Devon, but you've got some stuff. You don't need to bang on about this.
Okay, there we go to all our Devonian and Cornish listeners.
And I don't care, because they're boring.
Yeah, boring. In it to Snapsies, Plane's Gone.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the word plane is a kick in the old teeth, but it's not really.
They've done well. They've done well for themselves. Plane's Gone
without jam and cream.
I had one the other day that was actually, they actually described your options were fruit or vanilla scone. I was like, do those mean a Plane's Gone? But it turns out it tasted quite a lot of vanilla, as did the fruit scone. So,
Yeah, I mean, the revelation that vanilla scone tastes of vanilla is possibly... It's not front-page news. But then you saved it with the whole, so does the fruit scone.
Yeah, I think the Truro Examiner would love this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, fairness, those jokers.
Top spot, I mean, everyone's probably worked it out, but Colin, what is your number one?
No, I think you're trying to do a drum roll, but it just sounds like some sort of...
Slightly better.
That's pleasant listening. Cheese scones on. I love a cheese scone.
Yeah, I know you do.
So much. The more cheese, the better. I've even made them in my youth. I just love a cheese scone. I can think of no better snack. Chuck some bovril on there and no I am a snack. Happy man.
I'd say it's the third best scone.
Really?
And number one, by quite a distance,
okay.
Fruit scone. Love a fruit scone. That was your number five, wasn't it? You put that below cherries.
It did. I mean,
I love a fruit scone. Four or five
are very close, but
if they've got scones on a menu and they're like, we've got scones, and it comes out and there's no fruit in it, I'm like, what the hell is this? And they'll be like, it's a scone. I'll be like, okay, thanks. Love a fruity scone. An FS.
There you go. Let us know what your favourite scone ordering is.
It's what FFS means. For fruity scones.
Right. Fine. It also stands for Foo Fighters Sparks in the collaborative album by Foo Fighters and Sparks.
I think they knew what they were doing there.
Was it Franz Ferdinand? It might be Franz Ferdinand. It was some band that's initials were FF. Yes, I think they did know.
What's your jam of choice? Reference
to fruit for fruity scones.
What's your jam of choice?
I don't know, strawberry.
You can at least pretend to be interested.
Raspberry.
I didn't say you just named some jams. I was always a strawberry guy. And then I was like, maybe a raspberry sometimes. And I went somewhere a while ago, a garden centre, with my friends Laura and Andrew. Hi, Laura and Andrew. They're not listening.
I like the ethos of strawberry jam.
And they'd run out.
I call it strawberry feels forever.
I don't know why you said that. And they'd run out of other jams, and all they had left was blackcurrant. And you know what? The game has changed. It was a game changer.
It was Franz Ferdinand. So blackcurrant jam was blackcurrant or blackberry.
Blackcurrant. And blackcurrant jam is now my favourite jam on a tap from scones. I said it.
Is it your favourite jam, full stop?
No, that's a rhubarb and ginger jam.
Rhubarb and ginger.
I love rhubarb and ginger jam.
Good lord.
I get it whenever I go to Natty Tea.
Rhubarb and ginger.
No, I was cynical because I didn't think I liked rhubarb that much. But my goodness, it's incredible.
Have you ever tried rhubarb and ginger jam on a scone?
Yeah, probably. And it's just something about the acidity of a blackcurrant jam, or the lack of acidity of a blackcurrant jam. It's just something to do with the acidity. As I was saying, I just realised that rhubarb is quite acidic.
I mean, incredibly acidic.
So there's something about a blackcurrant jam. It's just the perfect place on the sweetness to acidity scale. Strawberry a bit too sweet. Maybe rhubarb and ginger is not sweet enough. Blackcurrant jam is like, yes, miss. I knew the assignment, as we young people say.
Oh my goodness.
Pop off.
I find that sus. Now we've gone over time, but let's keep talking about. Sorry?
Get your boots, I said.
Get my boots.
I think there's some slang about boots. I'm not sure what it is.
Okay. I was in a quiz the other day that had some Gen Z slang questions in it, and we got some of them, but not all of them.
Is this where you got saying skibbity toilet from all the time?
No. Do you know what clapped means?
Mm. clapped. Well, like clapped out, just like an old banger.
Well, that's what we thought.
But is it like really? Is it like well made up?
No, ugly apparently.
Oh right. So sorry to hear that. Re the clapped.
There's also one question: could we define what a roadman is?
No, that's just London slang, isn't it? It's like a waster.
Well, there seemed to be a significant debate. I think they in the end just let us have one as anything. But but yeah, kind of maybe drug dealer wears a tracksuit or something. I don't know. Anyway, let us know if you are a road man or if you have a alternative scone preference to us.
And if you can pick us up from the airport in Montpellier, that'd be great.
Yeah, if you live in Montpellier, Vermont, and you would like to put us up for the tour for our five different events in Montpellier, Vermont, we would be delighted to see you there.
Yeah.
If you live in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, come say hi when I'm there. I'm not going to reveal when that is.
What just I look just like. Wander around occasionally and be like, do you co-host quite a mediocre podcast?
Yeah, no, if you see someone in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, go and ask them if they're me. And ask them, say the secret phrase, and I will give you a free scone.
What's the secret phrase?
It's a secret. Right. But that's all we have time for.
What have we done today, Colm?
So we have put the win into twin.
Oh, sorry. My cat just sort of dislodged my headphones. Yes, twins. Winning. Okay. What have we done today, Colm? I'll leave all this in. Well, no, maybe you done it today. I don't know.
I am definitely not. are we doing that again, are we? I thought it was fine.
Put the win.
In into twin.
Twin.
And the Vermont into Montpellier.
Bye.
Bye.